Welcome to Fireside Bookshelf, a place to discover some great books to enhance your study in Scripture. Ginger opens the doors to countless resources to help us understand and appropriate living in the world of differing dynamics, from culture issues, marriage, parenting, understanding the times we live in, all in accordance for growing in grace and truth in Jesus Christ. So let's listen in on today's featured presentation.
Just the other day, I drove by a local medical office in our community and must admit I was a wee bit surprised to see a huge Christmas tree shimmering through the window panes, because you see, it wasn't even the end of October yet. I suppose I should be used to it by now, but when I was a child, Christmas trees generally didn't appear until at least the day after Thanksgiving. By the time my children were growing up, Christmas trees didn't appear usually until at least after Halloween. It's hard to know whether it's the retailers or the shoppers themselves who are responsible for this trend, but on some level it seems a terrible shame that we can't wait for one holiday to be enjoyed before moving on to the next. Our ability as a society to wait seems to be eroding with each passing season. As we once again enter into another seemingly never-ending holiday season, I'd like to propose to you a few wonderful reasons on why waiting doesn't have to be a negative, why waiting is essential in the Christian life, why waiting may eventually become your favorite pastime. So today, come be a part and enjoy some of the wonderful passages found in a small literary work packed with endless gifts of wisdom entitled Wait on the Lord, written by James Smith. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. Psalms 25:5. The Lord intends to keep his people dependent upon himself, Smith insists. He has everything they can need. He intends to supply all their needs, but he will be applied to. He will have his people wait on him and wait for him. In doing so, he will try their faith, fortitude, patience, and perseverance. He will sometimes put on them a severe test, but he will never fail them, forsake them, or leave them destitute. If they trust him, plead with him, wait on him, they will be raised to a state of comparative security, for they need not fear any man, or any circumstance, or any state they find themselves. The Lord will be to them their God. He will do for them all that God can do, and that is all they can require, all that is consistent with their welfare and his own glory. Believer, you may be independent of all creation by realizing your dependence upon your God and waiting upon him continually. You must believe the love he has for you, his watchful care over you, his delight in you, the promises he has given you, the provision he has made for you, the glory he will get by you, and the honor to which he intends to raise you. In doing so, the fear of man will die, joy in God will spring up, the peace of God will fill your heart and mind, your dependence on creatures will cease, and you will be happy in looking only to the Lord. My soul, wait only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Smith tells us to wait in all circumstances. You can be in no circumstances in which the Lord can't help you, in which he will not help you, if you simply look to him, rest on him, and wait for him. For every condition in which you may be placed, there is a promise. By that promise, the Lord stands pledged to appear for you and help you. He is ever ready to deliver you, only he will have you believe his word, exercise confidence in him, plead the promise at his throne, and wait for its fulfillment. Wait, then, on the Lord at all times. Times will change, creatures will vary, but the Lord remains always the same. He will adapt his mercies to us, make all his goodness pass before us, and cause all things to work together for our good. He will never leave us, change his views of us, or withhold his tender mercies from us. He is faithful to his word, true to his character, and full of love for his people. Health may give way to sickness, plenty to poverty, strength to weakness, and life to death, but he is the same. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Smith counsels us to wait for light in darkness. You will have dark seasons, for it is the lot of all Christians. A cloud may come over your prospects. The sentence of death may be passed upon many of your comforts. The Lord may seem to turn against you. There may be no sweet imitations of his love, no pleasant communication with him at his throne, no sensible communication with him in his ordinances. All within may be cold, cheerless, and dreary, and all is disheartening and discouraging. Instead of success, there may be losses. Instead of comfort, trouble. Instead of friendship, alienation. Business may decline, employment may fail, health may give away, all things may seem to be against you. But however discouraging your circumstances may be, however dull and dreary you may be in your soul, or how cast down on account of the difficulties of the way, still wait on the Lord, because you shall not wait in vain. However dark your way, however trying your circumstances, however severe the exercises of your soul, still wait on the Lord. Hold fast by this promise. So shall your light rise in obscurity, and your darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. Smith exhorts us to wait for direction in difficulty. Difficulties often arise from our ignorance or relationships in life or duties that are put upon us. These difficulties are often so great that we do not know what to do or which way to take. Our wisdom is swallowed up. Our friends are unable to advise us. One rash step may destroy us. We appear to be compelled and urged to go forward, and yet are afraid to take a step. Every plan we have formed has failed. Every effort has been denied. We dare not go back. We fear to go forward. And yet we feel as if we cannot stand still. We imagine that no creature has ever been tried as we have. We have been sincere and yet have gone wrong. We have tried our best and yet failed. We are tempted to envy others who succeed, to think the Lord has dealt harshly with us, and even to become reckless. What can we do? We can wait on the Lord who has given us this special promise. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye. He will point out the way. He will teach you in the way. He will guide you as a loving father or faithful friend. There are no difficulties with him. He has seen the end from the beginning. He has directed thousands, millions, who have been in as great or greater difficulties than you are. What he has done for others, he will do for you. Smith also directs us to wait for wisdom in trials. It requires much wisdom to use trials well, so that we may glorify God in the fires and get only good for our souls. Every trial properly directed will prove a great blessing, but if not well directed, it may prove a sore evil. We cannot make ourselves wise, but God can make us so, and he is prepared to give wisdom to all who devoutly wait upon him. The wisdom that comes from God, used in our trials, will lead us to the strong for strength, will teach us to use his promises, and will direct us to seek the deepening of our sanctification before anything and everything else. A wise man in trial will be patient and calm, prayerful and hopeful, resigned and humble, and will be more concerned to have the trial made a blessing than to have it removed. Wait then on the Lord for wisdom, and see that you obtain it, for wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Smith encourages us to wait for comfort in sorrow. You may be sad and sorrowful. Grief may have become your companion for a time. Jesus was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. We are destined to be conformed to his image. We must resemble him in sorrow before we can be filled with his joy. We must be like him on earth before we shall be like him in heaven. If we suffer with him now, we shall reign with him by and by. A sorrowful saint can sympathize with a sorrowing Savior and his fellow believers in their sorrows as well. Take heed, therefore, lest on one hand you despise sorrow, or on the other are swallowed up by too much sorrow. Sanctified sorrow is a soul-healing medicine. But do not dwell too much on your sorrows, for they are only for a time, and when the purpose for which they were sent is answered, they will be removed. Your God is the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He comforts those who are cast down. Wait therefore on the Lord, however deep your sorrows may be at present, and he shall comfort you in all your tribulation. Yield not to despondency, discouragement, or doubt, but remember that the Lord says, I am he who comforts you. Smith cautions us to wait for deliverance out of every trouble. Deliverance is certain, for deliverance is promised. The Lord will deliver you in 6 troubles, and in 7 he will not forsake you. Jesus is the great deliverer. Therefore, droop not, doubt not, despond not, but call upon him in the day of trouble, and he will deliver you, and you shall glorify him. As a believer, you can have no ground for fear or reason to despair. Your troubles shall not overwhelm you if you cry out unto God. How long your troubles may last, or how low you may sink, is not for me to say, Smith notes, but they will not last long enough to warrant despair, nor will you sink so low that the everlasting arms will not still be underneath you. Remember in every trouble that the eternal God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. The Lord said, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. What precious scriptures these are! Are you in trouble, my friend? Smith asks. Believe these scriptures, appropriate them, plead them in prayer, and God will honor them and make them good. You may have to wait a while. You may fancy it far too long. But at the very best time, in the very best way, the Lord will arise and have mercy upon you and shall bring you out of trouble. Smith implores us to wait on the Lord praying. Prayer is the solace of the soul. Therefore, Scripture directs us in everything to pray. Indeed, we cannot be said to wait upon God without prayer. For prayer is the fixing of the eye, the outgoing of the heart, and the breathing of the spirit, the cry of the soul. In waiting upon God, let your prayers be simple, simple as a child's speech to his father. Let them be direct, going direct from your heart to the heart of God. Let them be comprehensive, comprising of all you need or wish, all you fear or dread, all that is needful now, and all that appears desirable for the future. Everything should be turned into prayer. All our concerns should be laid before the Lord. They may be temporal or spiritual, limited to time or run into eternity. But whether they regard the soul or the body, the individual person only or the family, the church, the country, or the world, whether they be great things or only small matters, they should be carried to the throne and be laid before the Lord. This is the way to enjoy settled, solid, habitual peace, and to carry out the Savior's admonition, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. Anything that troubles us, however small or apparently trifling, interests our Heavenly Father, and he wishes to hear of it from his children's own mouth. Smith asks us to wait on the Lord, believing. We should live by faith, walk by faith, and constantly exercise faith. Believe, therefore, what your God has said of himself, of his designs toward you, and of his care over you. Believe in the precious promises he has made to you, in the sweet assurances he has given to you, and in the oath he has taken to secure you. Believe God. Let men, or Satan, or your own heart even, say what they will. Believe God, speaking his word. Let providence work as it may. Believe God, and then you can concede him time to work. Then you can trust him in the gloomiest day and in the darkest night. Believe God, and then you will enjoy perfect peace. As the scriptures say, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Wait on God, believing that he will fulfill his word, confirm your faith, illustrate his character, and secure your best interests. Believe God and wait on him, that he may perform his promises, answer your prayers, and rejoice over you to do you good. Take God at his word and endeavor to rest upon it. Grasp the promise firmly and refuse to let it go. Doubting and fearing can do you no good, but will do you immense harm. But believing God and staying yourself on his word will be of immeasurable benefit to you. Believe therefore and wait. Wait and believe. Smith challenges us to wait on the Lord, searching his word. All that the Lord has to say to us is found in his word. That word is to direct us in difficulty, to counsel us in perplexity, to comfort us in trouble, and to encourage us under depression. It is to be a light unto our feet and a lantern to our paths. Its pages should be daily read, devoutly studied, and heartily believed, and continuously applied. We cannot become intimate with God without becoming familiar with his word. And as his word is the chief instrument by which he sanctifies his people, if we wish to be made holy, to be kept safe, to be truly happy, we should constantly and carefully read his word. This is always important, but was never more important than now, when so many books are written, so many errors are about, and religion has become so fashionable. Perhaps few temptations are so common, or more powerful, than the temptation to neglect the devout and frequent reading of God's word. Let us therefore be on our guard, and while we profess to wait upon God, let us make much use of his word, and whenever we take it in hand, say, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Smith beseeches us to wait on the Lord in quietness of soul. This is sometimes very difficult, especially when the conflict within is severe and the storms of trouble roar. Yet it is a duty, and not only a duty, but a privilege. Reasoning will do little good, resistance will injure us. Quiet, confiding faith in God is sure to calm the surges of the mind, soothe the ruffled spirit, and bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. So then let us say, the Lord is good unto those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. If in patience we possess our souls, quietly plead with God, and look for his delivering hand, we shall be sure to enjoy his paternal mercy. Smith instructs us to wait on the Lord, acquiescing in his will. Men may be wrong, God cannot be. Whatever he does, he wills, and whatever he wills is good. Whatever he permits is for wise reasons, and because he can overrule it for his own glory and the good of his people. All things lie open before him. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows not only what everything tends to do, but what everything will result in. In everything he keeps the best interests of his people in view. We may therefore very well submit to his will, not only submit, but feel resigned, not only feel resigned, but acquiesce, not only acquiesce, but ultimately prefer his will and way to our own. Higher than this we cannot get, wiser than this we cannot be. Now all within will be at peace. Let things be as they may without. All before us in the distance will be bright. Let them be as they will near at hand. Happy the soul that can bow to God's will, approve of God's plan, and be pleased with God's working, and say, Not my will, but yours be done. It is the Lord. Let him do what he deems good. Oh, for this calm, quiet, all-subduing acquiescence in the will of God, that I may wait on him, wait before him, and wait for him, saying with all of my heart, Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, for my God will hear me. Smith pleads for us to wait on the Lord in hope. That is, expecting that he will work for you, give good things to you, and provide for your deliverance. Say with David, I will hope continually, and I will yet praise you more and more. The promises are intended to raise your expectation, and past experience should strengthen it. There can be no reason to doubt while you wait upon God, nor can doubting do you the least good. Hope will cheer you, brighten your prospects, and save you from despondency and gloom. Therefore, hope in the Lord. You may be deeply tried, severely exercised, and at times almost overwhelmed. But at the very worst, you should talk with yourself and say, Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. However rough your road today, however violent the conflict, however severe the trial, still hope on. Hope always. For God has said, They shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Like a vessel on the ocean, you may have to meet with storms and tempests. You may be tossed and tumbled about, but hope will be as an anchor for your soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Therefore let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Do you find yourself in trying circumstances, circumstances of a peculiar trial? It may be so, and may this little book be sent to you in special mercy. To you the Scripture speaks when it says, Wait on the Lord. The Lord can easily find a way for your escape or make one. Your case cannot be desperate while God is on the throne. However great the difficulties that lie in your path, however impossible it may appear for you to escape or overcome them, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Let nothing, therefore, dishearten or discourage you. You may be brought into a state as to be entirely dependent on the Lord, having no friend, adviser, or helper, and that may become the most blessed season of your life. Then you may use David's prayer, understanding David's feelings when he said, Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. Psalms 25:5. Wait on the Lord by James Smith can be found at your local bookstore or online and is currently available in hardback, paperback, and digital format. And one final note from the Fireside Bookshelf. None of the books featured on this program are ever intended to replace the Bible and the need for immersing ourselves in God's Word on a daily basis. We are grateful, however, to be able to benefit from the research and works of others who seek to remain faithful to biblical truth and provide insights to help strengthen and deepen our spiritual walk, and to be able to share those resources with you.
We hope today's featured highlights will spark an interest for you to consider adding this work to your library. In times when busyness is our business, we need to kindle the lost art of reading, allowing our minds and bodies to pause for refreshing. Fireside Bookshelf is a ministry of Sharon Hearts. You can hear us anytime by going to our podcast menu at sharonhearts.org. This is a great benefit for the person who is on the go. Thank you for joining us today, and tune in for our next feature at this same time next week.